This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning. I'm Stan Sollers at 44 past the hour. A year and 2 weeks into the coronavirus pandemic, and there are clear signs of hope on the Indiana horizon, along with new viral variant threats identified in the state from Brazil, South Africa, the UK, and California. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb is reducing or dropping most state-mandated pandemic measures next week, while the state's health commissioner says it's not time to behave as if the pandemic is over. So what does all of this mean to the Ball State campus community? Joining us again for another Ball State pandemic update is President Jeff Mearns. President Mearns, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Stan. Good morning.
Good morning. The governor. Governor Holcomb is lifting most pandemic restrictions next week. How do you feel about that? And how will that affect pandemic protocols here at Ball State?
As you know, the governor has access to much more information than I do, and he has to manage a much more diverse and dynamic and larger community than we have to manage here at Ball State. You know, he's got to handle large population centers like Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, and then also small rural counties. So he has a much larger and more complex task. So I don't really want to pass judgment on the wisdom of those difficult decisions he has to make. But as I said yesterday in a campus email, which I assume you received,
yes,
the governor's amended order gives businesses and other enterprises like us, like Ball State, gives us the ongoing ability to maintain more stringent protocols than the minimum safeguards that are required under his order. And I'm grateful that the governor recognized that for us and for many other people, that this flexible approach gives us the discretion to maintain our current protocols. And so, as I mentioned in that email, I consulted with the task force that has informed our health and safety protocols for a year now. And I've decided to keep all of those protocols in place until at least mid-May. And now, in addition to that, we'll continue to develop a phased approach to bringing all faculty and staff back to campus by August, with some limited exceptions. And then we'll determine what other protocols are necessary between now and August, and then, of course, what's necessary from August going forward.
Well, earlier in the week, on our air, you spoke about Ball State's plan to increase inoculations to all eligible Hoosiers, now 16 years of age and older, through our own vaccination clinic over in the Health Professions Building on Riverside Avenue. This was near the same time the University of Notre Dame announced that it would vaccinate its students with the two-shot Pfizer vaccine before the end of their spring semester. Theirs ends 2 weeks later than ours. Students there will be encouraged but not required to be inoculated, and you said that student vaccinations or a student vaccination campaign would not happen here at Ball State, but there are more details to that story. Could you elaborate, please?
Sure. So our focus, as I shared with you, our focus will continue to be on expanding the capacity at the Health Professions Building. We've been receiving some additional vaccine supplies from the county, and I want to ensure that we have the staff to administer all the supply that is available to us. And Stan, as you know, that site is a state site. So anyone, you know, faculty, staff, students, community members, anyone can make an appointment to get a vaccination in the Health Professions Building. So in light of that effort, I didn't think it was prudent to divert our facility and those staff to prioritize students, potentially at the expense of other members of our university community and other members of the Muncie community. And also, as you mentioned, the Notre Dame academic calendar is different. Under our academic calendar, I was concerned that students would be getting that second shot during finals week. And as you know, that reactions to the vaccines have been few, but they are happening. And I was concerned that if a student or several students had a reaction to that second shot, it might compromise their ability to complete exams and final projects on time.
As of today, there are still no plans to require students or staff or faculty at Ball State to be vaccinated for fall semester in August because of legal risk. Is that correct?
Well, the punchline of what you just said is correct, but I would differ a bit on the rationale. My decision is not really dictated by a concern over legal risks. Rather, what we've been discussing and the decision that I've arrived at presently is really driven by what approach I think will be more effective in increasing the total number of faculty, staff, and students who get vaccinated. My own view is that you get a better response at this point by a coordinated and comprehensive campaign to inform people and to encourage them and possibly to provide appropriate rewards or incentives to get the vaccine. It's more effective. I think that approach is more effective than announcing a mandate that I might not have the authority to enforce. So in short, why provoke resistance if you can promote cooperation?
Well, let's move on now from going deep in the weeds on inoculations to into the woods. The university's Ginn Woods and the move by Ball State to get a special status for that tract of land. Can you tell us where it is, how big it is, and why is it so special?
Certainly. So our university acquired Ginn Woods from the Ginn family about 50 years ago in the 1970s. It's more than 200 acres. It's located about 10, 12 miles north of campus. And what's significant about it is the second largest protected old growth forest in the entire state of Indiana. So to give you some context about how special it is, two centuries ago, approximately 88% of the entire state of Indiana was forest land. In Delaware County at that time, the entire area that is now Delaware County was forest. Today in Delaware County, it's only 3% of that entire area is forested. So we believe it's important. Indeed, it's part of our mission is about sustainability. So we think it's important to preserve this rare natural gem. And so by designating Ginn Woods as a state nature preserve, we will ensure that this beautiful forest, this special place, that it will be protected for many generations to come.
Well, President Jeff Mearns, thanks very much for coming back this week for another Ball State Pandemic Update.
Thank you, Stan. Be well.
You as well. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.